with Alan on the PDNR, and we will then try and connect with Michele, who will be doing a remote update on the IRTP Group B. Alan, when you're ready, please go ahead.
Thank you, Stefan. Marika, can we have the first slide? All right. To remind people of what the subject of the PDP is, essentially we're looking at whether registrants have reasonable opportunities, reasonable ability to reclaim a domain if it expires, and under what conditions should they be able to do this, and exactly what processes. The PDP charter allows for the outcomes of either consensus policy, best practices, or presumably other specific outcomes. The PDP has not been the most productive one around in its first months. There has been a continual discussion on whether, in fact, there is a problem, whether we should be having the PDP, whether their problems justify policy outcomes. At least part of the problem is due to the working group has a very large percentage of registrars on it, and we have had significant problem attracting more participation from user groups, from non-commercial user group, from the commercial user group, and from at large. As a result, in terms of the raw number of people speaking, there is a definite position and view to many of them. We started off by conducting a survey of a number of large registrars, which covers 65% or so of all registrations. And the simplest conclusion we can come out of that is that the practices amongst registrars are exceedingly varied, and there's probably no consistency at all over the process. So the concept of trying to map out what the process is post-expiration is virtually impossible. It's more complex, and it's interesting in that among the group there are people who have been spending years as registrars or as other professionals involved in this, and each of them has learnt something. Sometimes about their own organization, sometimes about others. We have went over the public comments that resulted from the public comment period and the various constituency statements. We are starting to develop a draft of the report without having the conclusions, of course. And perhaps the most important recent issue is, or recent activity, is we put out a survey of the group to try to understand where there is a belief that we need to fix things, where there is a belief that something that needs to change, and where indeed we don't have a problem at all. One of the confusing issues is that if you look at the larger registrars, most everyone allows an opportunity to regain a domain name after expiration. Virtually none of them put it in their policies. And it's not NICANN's policy. So the question is, do we need to have any conformity between what the words say and what the practices are? We're just starting an initial review of the survey we did. The very preliminary results seem to indicate that there's a large number of people in the committee or in the working group that do in fact feel that we need to change some things, and policy may well be an outcome. If we're not successful with the survey of coming to sufficient closure to move forward and move forward effectively, then we may well come back to the GNSO and say we're just in a stalemate, that insufficient participation by some groups has made this impossible to move forward. I think that's the substance of my report. Marika, did I leave anything out? I will report that without Marika, we would not have survived this, and I thank her immensely.
Stefan, this is Tim. Could I get in the queue?
You sure can, Tim. In fact, you're in the queue. You are the queue. Go on.
Okay. Say, Alan, could you repeat that? I guess I didn't quite understand what you were saying about most large registrars allow recovery after expiration, but that virtually none of them have it in their policy. Is that what you said, or could you explain that?
That's probably what I said, and it may or may not be accurate. I'll try to rephrase it. If you look at some of the registration contracts, and to be honest, I'm not sure about those of the company you represent, they often say things like, we may at our discretion allow you to recover the names. That's not the exact words, but the net effect. We may assign the domain to somebody else and sell it or auction it as soon as the moment it expires. So most of the agreements allow a registrar to take custody of a domain and not provide it back to the registrant and not drop it so it goes into RGP. As far as we can tell from the registrar survey, every registrar that we have talked to, in fact, does allow a process by which a registrant can get it back. But rarely is it something that is guaranteed in the agreement. That's what I intended to say, and I think that's reasonably accurate.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Tim. Anyone else would like to ask a question? If not, can I ask if I'd just like to thank Alan, first of all, for that report. And can I ask if Michele is on the line? I don't know if they have an internet connection in Ireland. Sorry, I shouldn't have made that joke, should I? Okay, well, in that case, is Greg Aaron on the line? Oh, sorry, no, Marika's doing that one. So, Marika, you're doing the rap WG. Yo.
Just give me 1 second while I pull up the presentation. While the presentation is loading, I just want to give the apologies from Greg Aaron, who unfortunately couldn't be present here and wasn't able to participate either remotely. He will be participating in the GNSO Council session on Wednesday remotely, and as well in the afternoon session that we'll be talking about a bit more in a little bit. So this is a working group that already started some time ago as well, looking at the issue of registration abuse. The question was brought to the council, or the observation was made that the registries and registrars seem to lack uniform approaches to deal with domain and registration abuse. But the question was asked as well, like, does that actually matter? And, you know, what would be the effects or impact of a more harmonized approach, if any? What role should ICANN actually play in this? And what of those issues, if any, are suitable for GNSO policy development? So before actually launching into a policy development process, it was decided that some of those questions needed further discussion and research so that the Council would be able to make an informed decision on these issues. And as a result, a pre-PDP working group was launched in March of 2009. So I said, the group was handed a number of questions to look further into. First of all, the question of what is the difference between registration abuse and domain name use abuse, as that difference has a potential impact on whether consensus policies can be made or not. What is the effectiveness of existing abuse policies? How are they being used? It doesn't mean because someone has a provisions in place that they're actually effective in addressing abuse. What, if any, are could be the benefits of a more uniform approach by registries and registrars? And based on the deliberations and research that has been undertaken by the group, an initial report was published on the 12th of February so earlier this month, in time to be discussed at this meeting. So the report brings together like over 100 pages of information on these different issues, basically, you know, the background to how the group came to the different recommendations on the different issues that are listed here on this slide. So basically, recommendations are being made on issues such as cyber squatting, who is access, malicious use of domain names, front running, fake renewal notices, domain kiting, deceptive and or offensive domain names, uniformity of contracts, and meta issues. It's important to point out, and you know, I'm not going to go into the detail in this update on what those recommendations are and you know, how the group came to those recommendations, because we'll have a more detailed information session or update to the GNSO Council on Wednesday, in the Wednesday morning session. And in that afternoon, there will be a public information session where we'll go into more detail on these different items and the contents of the report. So anyone interested in that, I would just encourage you to attend those sessions. So just to note maybe here that on those recommendations, some of those recommendations are unanimous consensus recommendations, but there are a number of recommendations that where the group was divided or where some alternative views are being put forward. So I think those are the issues that the group is especially looking for public comment on. So, in conjunction with the publication of the initial report, a public comment period has been opened, in which people can submit comments. It's open, I think, until the 28th of March. So, following receipt of the comments, the group will review and analyze the comments and decide if where the report needs to be updated. And the group is aiming to present a final report to the GNSO in time for the ICANN meeting in Brussels. And on the basis of that report, the GNSO Council can then consider recommendations and decide on next steps. So here again, the information for those of you interested to submit comments. Here you have the link. As mentioned, there will be a more detailed presentation of the initial report during the GNSO Council session on Wednesday morning, probably around 10:30. And there is an information session scheduled for Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5:30. Are there any questions?
No questions? Thanks very much. I was going to call you Greg. But you're not Greg, you're Marika. Thanks very much, Marika. So who's doing the RAA subteams A and B? Steve, is that you? Steve Metalitz, is that you?
Yeah, this is Steve Metalitz. I could do the report on subteam B.
That would be great if you could. I'd appreciate it. There are no slides. Is that correct?
There are no slides, and I'll be very brief. This group was set up to. Do you want me to do this now? Right.
Yes, please.
Okay. This group was set up with three tasks. One was to compile topics for possible amendments to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. The second was to flag any issues in those topics that raised issues for consensus policies, and third was to recommend next steps. So we have a small but active team that's been meeting on a biweekly basis pretty much since October, November, and ably supported by the staff. We received many. We had a public request for topics, and we received quite a few of them, really close to 100 suggestions, with a good deal of overlap. There were some very very detailed recommendations from the ICANN staff. There were recommendations from a group of law enforcement agencies from 7 countries. There were a number of recommendations from a working group of the intellectual property constituency, and then there were some topics proposed by interested individuals. So our team has been going through these to try to assign to, first of all, weed out a few that really aren't appropriate for the registrar accreditation agreement amendments, and secondly, to try to assign higher or lower priorities, since there are so many topics recommended, and also to see any that really are more appropriate for the consensus policy development process. We're almost done with that task. We've gone through all the topics, and we are now in the process of trying to weed out any duplicates or overlaps, and just make sure we're in agreement on priorities. And then we're just starting the discussion of what next steps we would recommend. In other words, how we would recommend that we move toward negotiation of inclusion of these in a revised registrar accreditation agreement. So our goal is to provide our written report to the council next month, in time for the council to deal with it in its late April meeting. And I think we're on track to do that. So I want to thank all of the sub-team members that have been participating from around the world, and as well the ICANN staff that's been of great assistance. And that concludes the report, but I'll be glad to try to answer any questions.
Thanks very much for doing that, Steve. Are there any questions for Steve on that report? If not, is Bo Brenda on the line for the sub-team A?
We're trying to see if he's actually already here. We're not completely sure whether he's already here or not, but we're checking. So if we can maybe first go to the next one on the list, and we'll come back to that one.
Marika, you said you could do the IRTP Part B if Michele couldn't make it?
Yes, but maybe we can first do the IRDW, so we give Michele a little bit more time.
Okay, and is Steve Chang on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Great. Are you okay to do that report now?
Sure.
Okay, just give us 5 seconds. Marika's uploading the slides, and then whenever you're ready, please go ahead. Thanks.
Sure. So, good afternoon. My name is Steve Chang. I'm the senior technical analyst in policy and one of the staff support for the internationalized registration data working group. The working group was convened after the Seoul meeting and to study issues relating to IRD. And I'm here to give an update of the progress on behalf of our chair who couldn't make it today. And I'll be brief. So next slide. So here's a rough outline. I'll first provide a brief background on the motivation and the scope of the working group's work. Also talk about working group demographics. I'll spend most of my time today updating you areas that the working group members have been discussing. And finally, I'll conclude with some timeline and possible next steps. Next slide, please. So some background. Currently, there are standards for displaying internationalized domain labels and names. However, as the registration data become increasingly internationalized, there's no standard or guidance for submission and the display. So this lack of standard means that today, the display of IRD data in WHOIS is mostly application dependent. WHOIS service providers may choose encodings that best suit them. However, it's no guarantee that the WHOIS client can support those encodings. The WHOIS protocol in its current form does not recognize encodings either. So all of these factors create no uniform experience of readability and usability when it comes to IRD display in WHOIS. So recognizing these issues, the ASEC have studied it and issued a report, I think it's SEC 37, and at the request of the ACAN board, the GNSO and ASEC formed the IRD working group. So next slide, please. So the goal of the working group is to study the feasibility and suitability of introducing display specifications to deal with the internationalization of registration data. I want to clarify that the IRD issue is not an issue created by the introduction of IDNs. I think this is an evolving issue as more of the CCTLDs accept registration data in languages other than English. So, and the working group is to engage participation from all SOs, ACs, as well as CCTLDs to ensure broad community input. Next slide, please. I'm on slide 5. The working group is composed of 17 members from 4 countries. And
SOs, ACs, as well as CCTLDs to ensure broad community.
I hear echo.
Please.
Can everyone that's not speaking please mute their phones?
The working group is chaired by Edmund Chung from GNSO and Jeremy Hitchcock from ASEC, and we held bi-weekly teleconferences to deliberate on issues. Next slide, please. So on discussion topics, the working group adopted a divide-and-conquer approach, separating the goal from the charter into a set of smaller questions. They are listed on this slide and next. For the interest of time, I won't go through all of them, but on this slide, I'll highlight the first two questions. So the first question the working group consider is, what should we require from IRD or who is that a user can submit IDN who is queries in U label or A label? Because currently, Whois doesn't have capacity to accept U label queries yet. So, and the next question related to the internationalization of the registration data is recognizing that some of the registrants may prefer to have their registration data displayed in a language or scripts that they are familiar with. Recognizing this trend, how should the registration data we accept accommodate that? So those are the two questions that I mentioned. Again, as you can see, there are two other questions that the working group has been deliberating on this issue. I'm on slide 7. Next slide. The second set of issues or questions that the working group has been outlined are, how would internationalized registration data affect data representation? And there are 4 questions. So the first question is, should Whois support multiple representations of the same registration data in different languages or scripts? So as I mentioned earlier, some registrants may prefer to submit their information in their local languages. But should we keep multiple representations? You know, should we keep some representation in ASCII in English or in Roman characters? You know, is there a value to adopt a must-be-present representation of data? And the other questions we consider is, should we consider adopting a format for civic address information that is reasonably function around the world? You know, since we're talking about internationalizing the registration data, I think those issues are also relevant. And finally is, how would the IDN-specific data be presented? Examples are the IDN variants and IDN language tags. So those are the second set of questions that the working group has deliberated. Next slide. For some of these questions, the working group has converged on some possible recommendations. So one recommendation, possible recommendation, is that the Whois service, we want to specify that the Whois, a requirement that the Whois service must be able to accept or submit in either U or A label format. This will give the user the ability to query IDN domains in Whois. Now here, when I say Whois, I mean the Whois service that includes the protocol as well as the Whois data. And it doesn't have to be the current Whois service, the current Whois service. It could be improved or a replacement to the existing Whois. So we are specifying a requirement for Whois service, essentially. So another recommendation is Whois must be able to support display both A-label and U-label. And this recommendation or requirement ensures the readability of the Whois results of the IRD. Finally, in the last item I want to highlight is the working group has agreed that various elements of the registration data to be separately internationalized. And the working group are working through each data item to discuss the best way to internationalize them. Next slide, please. Slide 9. There are several issues in active deliberation by the working group, and I want to highlight the second point. So the question is it desirable to adopt a must-be-present representation of data in addition with local character set support? And I think there are two camps of opinions within the working group. So one camp thinks that requiring a must-be-present representation may present a barrier of entry to those who does not know the must-be-present language. So whether that language is English or French or whatever. So this is basically recognizing that the current status quo is not acceptable. However, on the other camp, people are saying that require must be present representation may be necessary, although optimal. It may be necessary to realize the original intent of the Whois, that is to be able to contact, get in contact with registrants easily. So those are the opinions being expressed, and we're working through, we're deliberating through these issues. Next slide. I think these are, on slide 10, list the set of issues that we, the working groups, are to deliberate. So we'll just go on to slide 11. There are several other topics that we have deliberated as well, and one of them, the second one I'd like to point out is the collection and display of the IRD a local matter for registrars.
No same days.
That is, the registrars should decide what script they will support and what information in what encodings they will collect, and obviously there's a set of questions for that choice as well. Next slide. So in slide 12, we've outlined a set of possible next steps and near-term timelines. We hope to provide a possible preliminary report by May 2010 and be able to present at the ICANN Brussels meeting in June.
Well, man, I'm drawing a blank on everything else.
We have a more detailed briefing at the ASAC open meeting on Tuesday from 2 to 3:30 p.m. in the Beijing room. And if you'd like to find more about this working group, I would encourage you to attend that briefing. So with that, I've conclude my update, and I'd like to open to questions.
Thanks very much. There's a question from Tim.
Hey, Steve.
this is probably a dumb question, so forgive me, and I might have missed it somewhere earlier in the presentation, but
sure.
What do you mean by the term must be present? Could you explain that a little bit?
So must be present. So currently, for example, in the GTLDs, the who is in English, or the who is information is in English. So going forward, and I think particularly from either the law enforcement or some other interest to get in touch with registrants, is it necessary to still require, for example, you know, English U.S. ASCII representation, or you know, some representation in Roman character set in Whois that must be there in addition to local encodings. So that's what we mean by must be present.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Any other questions? If not, Steve, thanks very much for that very, very comprehensive report. And
thank you.
Who do we have next, Marika? Is Michele? No, let's try Michele once again. Okay, Marika, yeah, can you do that? Thanks very much.
So this is Marika again, just to give you an update on the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy Part B PDP Working Group. So the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, also referred to as IRTP, is a consensus policy that was adopted in 2004 by the GNSO Council. Basically, its objective is to provide a transparent and predictable way in which registrants can transfer their domain names from one registrar to another. As part of the adoption of that consensus policy, it was decided that a review would be undertaken to ensure that the policy was working as intended and to identify whether there were any areas that needed improvement or clarification. So as a result of that process, a number of issues were identified, which were then grouped together in five different PDPs that were labeled A to E. So we're currently at the issues that were categorized under label B, so hence the name IRTP Part B PDP Working Group. Another mouthful. So this working group is looking at a number of questions that relate to should there be a process or special provisions for the urgent return of a domain name registration following a hijacking or an inappropriate transfer or when a change of registrant occurs. And it looks at a number of issues related to registrar lock status. It's asking the question whether standards or best practices should be developed, and it's looking into whether a clarification for a denial reason number 7, which is one of the reasons that's currently in the policy and has created some confusion over the interpretation of it. So this PDP was initiated in June 2009, and since then the working group has been discussing the charter questions in parallel to soliciting public comments and input from constituency and stakeholder groups. So the group has already looked at the different public comments received and is still in the process of reviewing the constituency and stakeholder group submissions. We've also had active participation from ICANN's compliance team, which was one of the requirements of the working group charter to get some further insight as to the level of complaints and the issues that complaints are being received on. And the idea is as well that compliance team will provide input at the end of the day if this group comes up with any kind of recommendations for policy changes, on whether those changes are implementable and any recommendations on how to make them better if needed. So a draft initial report has already been prepared, which basically outlines the discussions to date, summarizes the public comments, and the next step for the group will be to review that report and work further on the recommendations for each of these charter questions. The group is has put together a little sub-team at the moment as well to look at a more detailed recommendation for a process for urgent return. So they're looking, for example, if you know, are there ways to revise or modify the TDRP, the Transfer Dispute Resolution Policy, to allow for more urgent or speedier resolution of complaints. So the group doesn't have a meeting planned in Nairobi, as unfortunately there was not sufficient people actually here, but they're working on a weekly schedule and are making good progress. So if you're interested in receiving further information, you can have a look at the issues report, the actual policy, and here is also a link to the working group workspace where you can find basically the latest documents that are under discussion. So with that, are there any questions?
If not, that would conclude our business for the day.
On the RAA A working group, we haven't been able to locate Bo Brendler, but once we find him, we'll ask him to put something in writing and share that with the council. So, and I'm sure he's available to take questions either by email or when you run into him here.
Yeah, apologies to the council for that missed report, and thanks everyone for your attendance today. Chuck, you have a question. Sorry, yeah.
Not a question, just some concluding remarks that will be brief. People are looking kind of sleepy here. Tim is rubbing his eyes. But I want to compliment all of the volunteers that participated on these working groups and a lot of the groups that aren't even represented in this update today, the GNSO improvement work teams. To my knowledge, we have nearly, maybe more, we have nearly 20 different GNSO projects with working teams or working groups or drafting teams going on right now. And as we come into this meeting, I tried to review as many of the documents as I could, and I was just sincerely impressed with the quality of the work that's being done. And the collaboration that's being done. So my compliments and thanks to everyone and also to those who have volunteered to take on the extra responsibility of leading all of these efforts. And Stefan, I want to thank you for taking my place there and doing an excellent job today. I think it would be good if everyone gave him a hand for filling in the way he has. That's all I have, Stefan. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm blushing now. You can't see that. But thanks to everybody anyway, and to all you volunteers who are participating remotely at very late hours or early hours of the day. Thank you very much for that. We'll reconvene tomorrow then for... I'm trying to find the agenda, but I've lost it now. I'm all flustered now that I've been complimented. Oh, no, I've got it here. Yep. So we'll reconvene tomorrow. There's a council breakfast at 8 a.m. for those who are able to attend that. And then at 9 a.m. In the room that Liz mentioned earlier on, in Pala, on the first floor, we will have the work teams, the Operations Steering Committee work teams, Council Operations work team working there, and the day will continue. And that agenda is available on the GNSO Council website or the main Nairobi meeting website. Thanks to all of you once again, and see you all tomorrow. Have a good evening. And operator, the call is now terminated.